Welcome to FlowJo's series of broadcasts on understanding the set text option in the Cambridge First Certificate of English and the Certificate of Proficiency in English. Your host is Fiona Joseph. We hope you enjoy listening.
Hello and welcome to the third in our series of podcasts for Cambridge exam students. This broadcast is aimed at exam candidates who are preparing the set text option in the CPE writing paper. The book we'll be exploring is the intriguing novel, The Cryptographer, by Tobias Hill. Let me explain first how this session will run. I'll give a quick overview of the characters, plot and setting, and then I'll do a reminder on the types of questions that come up in the CPE writing paper, and I'll be giving you some tips on how to do your best if you decide to do the set text option. Then I'll look at one of the key themes in the book and describe how the events and characters illustrate that theme. And then finally, I'd like to invite your thoughts and opinions of the book, and I'll be telling you about two different ways that you can share your views with us, i.e. what you liked, didn't like, how readable you found the book, and so on. The edition I'm using is the first edition, published in 2003 by Faber and Faber. Where I quote from the book, I'll be giving the relevant page numbers. So we'll start first by exploring the outline of the book. Although this book isn't what I call a typical science fiction book, it is set in the near future, in the early 2020s, and starts in London, where the action is mostly, although we also journey to other places too. The novel focuses on the story of Anna Moore, a 36-year-old tax inspector, who is assigned to investigate a possible financial fraud committed by John Law. John Law is the world's richest man, the first man to become a quadrillionaire, which means he's worth 1,000 times more than a trillionaire, if you can imagine that. He has made his wealth through the invention of an electric currency called soft gold, which relies on an unbreakable code. He is the cryptographer. When Anna meets John to begin the investigation, she finds herself drawn to him, but he surprises her by admitting that yes, he has kept some untaxed income, and he will repay it without hesitation. So the investigation has no grounds to continue, but somehow Anna can't rest. As she says on page 49 to her friend Lawrence, "I want to understand why he did it." She is then on a quest to try and find out why. She learns things from other people, like a colleague, Carl, that John Law once invented codes that could be hidden in flowers. When he was young, he invented computer viruses that wreaked havoc on software systems. There's also a rumour, and we're never quite sure whether it's true or not, that he was able to embed code in people. So she goes to visit him in his own place, a place called Erith Reach, John Law's very own estate. So large that it has 3 postcodes, and it's very easy to get lost in there, it's so huge. While there, she encounters John Law's wife, Annalie, and their son Nathan, who has diabetes. She interviews John again, and he invites her on New Year's Day to Erith Reach to come for a party. At this point, Anna is trying to make sense of her feelings for John, and I quote on page 115, "She wants to see him again, but not only him, but also the life he has surrounded himself with. The house, sheltered in the trees, Nathan's laughter, even Annalie. It is him she wants, but not only him. She wants the people who have him in them." It's as though Anna's developed an obsession, and she's understood neither by Lawrence nor her baffled work colleagues. There follows a tense, fairly disastrous Christmas lunch which Anna spends at her sister Martha's house and in the company of her mother and new partner. Martha has recently split up with her boyfriend, who has lost a lot of money, so Anna's mother thinks she should ask John Law to help her out. Not surprisingly, Anna is appalled by the idea. On New Year's Day, she arrives at John's party. She's approached by Annalie, John's wife, who asks her if she knows what's wrong with her husband. He seems so distant and preoccupied. Then Anna comes across John and Nathan, his son, playing a game of snakes and ladders. At this point, she realises 2 things. One, that it's his son that he's been putting money away for. And two, he's doing this because he knows that the soft gold has a flaw. The code is in fact crackable. The second part of the book is called Fall, and this outlines the consequences of the fall of soft gold. It's been corrupted by a virus called Dateline. So the value of the soft gold currency begins to fall, and there is a media frenzy, as you'd expect, and John Law goes missing. Anna's colleague, now her boss, expects her to track him down. One of the consequences of the fall in the currency is that it's expected that lawsuits will be filed against John Law, so he's in serious trouble. It's Dauphin Island in Alabama where Anna goes, as she suspects he might have fled there because of family connections. She does track down his wife, Anna Lee, but she can't help her. Anna returns to London and resigns from her job, despite her boss thinking she's mad. And then out of the blue, she receives a letter from Anna Lee, giving her a clue as to where John might be. The letter also states that another inspector had been working with John. Anyway, the clue is that John is on the island of Col, off the coast of Scotland. She goes there and finds John's mother, Creona, who invites her to stay the night and tells her that John is indeed living on the island. Her search is almost over. The next day, John and Anna are reunited. He's sitting on a rock, looking out to sea. He's pleased to see her, and their conversation is warm, although Anna still has questions. One of the questions is the role of Lawrence, her friend. "Tell me," she says on page 257, "did you use Lawrence to get to me, to make me close the case?" And he admits it, but won't say who approached whom first. Anna realises she will never be able to trust him, and that their relationship without that trust is doomed. The book ends with a conversation between Anna and Lawrence, where he dismisses her questions, really, about his connection with John Law. So, that's the main storyline of the book, with the main characters being Anna Moore, the tax inspector, who is questioning, efficient, and very good at her job. John Law, the quadrillionaire cryptographer of the book and the inventor of soft gold, the currency. His wife, Anna Lee. His son, Nathan. And Anna's close friends and family relationships include Lawrence, her former colleague and ex-lover, who appears still to dote on Anna. Her sister, Martha, with whom she has a fairly close relationship at times. And Anna's mother, Eve, who is difficult to get along with. There doesn't appear to be a strong mother and daughter bond between them. Another character we haven't mentioned yet is Tunde Finch, who works for a company called Masters Reverse Engineering, which is dedicated to computer hacking, which, in his words, is to test software to eliminate weakness and therefore strengthen. In his mind, codes can always be broken. Also, there's Carl, Anna's work colleague, the young, ambitious, some would say ruthless, self-serving individual who achieves promotion to the role of Anna's boss. Just a brief word about the setting of the book. As I mentioned already, it's set primarily in London, although we travel with Anna to two other settings. And the novel, though set in the future, isn't what we'd strictly call a science fiction. Now, let's think about the book within the context of the CPE exam. Remember that a typical CPE question on the set text won't invite you to give a straightforward summary of the plot or simple character or setting descriptions. Normally, you'll be asked to explore a particular theme of the book, and then you need to select incidents or events as well as characters that exemplify the theme. You may be asked to write your answer as an article, a report, a letter or an essay, and you must stick to the conventions for those task types. The final word of warning is not to attempt the set text option if you haven't read the book, and it does happen, believe it or not. So let's explore one of the themes. Let's imagine you have an exam question as follows. You belong to a book club which has invited its members to write short reports recommending books for inclusion in the future programme. One of the themes is trust. You decide to write a report to the club chair recommending the cryptographer. So let's start by exploring what we could put in a report on the theme of trust. First, we need to identify events or character relationships or ways that the book explores the idea of trust. We can see that trust works on a number of levels. We could start, for example, by looking at the relationship between trust and money. All currency depends on trust. Once we stop believing in a particular currency, it will be devalued and become worthless. History teaches us that. The way this is played out in the book is that the author has invented a world where there is little demand for hard currency. The dollar has been phased out in favour of soft gold, the electric currency invented by John Law. In fact, even street beggars carry card machines rather than demanding hard cash. Soft gold is based on a code that supposedly is unbreakable, and yet the events show us that this is untrue. A virus called Dateline begins to corrupt soft gold, and with it, I quote, "the atmosphere of trust any currency needs to operate." John Law states, "Money is trust. Break it, and you have nothing." The other interesting aspect of trust is shown by the central question that this novel raises. How do we know we can trust the people that we love? Anna is attracted to John Law and feels that she can trust him, in spite of other people telling her that he isn't trustworthy. The world and the internet is awash with rumours and stories that John himself invented a way to hide code in humans with disastrous consequences, that he would be willing to break his own code. Even his wife, Annalie, doubts his integrity and intentions. However, Anna still feels a pull towards him, and when he goes missing at the end of the book, she tracks him down to a remote Scottish island. In their final scene together, she realises that the unresolved questions she has about his motives and intentions were never fully answered and would never be fully answered. She says, and again I quote, "You have to have trust, and in love, trust is everything." Because she can't trust him, they agree that a relationship between them could never work. Finally, there's another aspect of trust, and that's the trust that occurs between friends. One of the characters, Lawrence, appears at various points in the book. He seems to support and care for Anna, is keen to discuss the John Law investigation with her. He even seems a little obsessed and very protective of her. We learn that Lawrence used to work for the revenue until his drink problem got out of hand. Anna was asked to give evidence about Lawrence's competence at work, and she felt unable to tell nothing but the truth, and Lawrence was therefore made redundant from his job. In an ironic twist, Anna finds out that John Law paid Lawrence to try and talk her out of continuing the investigation. Was it a betrayal of trust? Did Anna also betray Lawrence's trust? These are questions that the reader has to answer for themselves. So, I hope that's been helpful. There is a lot to discuss about this intriguing book. I certainly enjoyed reading it, and in particular, I appreciated the author's very poetic style of writing. Good luck if you decide to tackle this question in the exam. So, bye for now, but please leave a comment on the SetText website, or you can even record a comment, send it to us, and we'll publish it for you. See you soon.
You've been listening to Fiona Joseph of Flojo speaking about the SetText option for CPE. For more information and exam resources for FCE, CA and CPE, including our online series Exam Success Plus, please go to www.flojo.co.uk. That's www.flo-joe.co.uk. Thanks for listening.